All right, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. We appreciate it. How's everybody doing? Today is July 9th, 2021, the day after. The day after. Last night, ooh, interesting. So that tropical depression came through here. Slept right through it. Slept right through it. And I had tornado warnings and everything. I hope everyone is okay. I haven't really heard if we were hit with a tornado. I know that we didn't get hit. So thank goodness, right? But it has gone through. It seems like it's going to be a beautiful day. I was a little concerned. My youngest son, Sam, had a date with a pool today. So I was hoping that that would happen. And apparently it's going to. So all is good. So, yes, it is Friday. And I thought we'd maybe talk about, I thought I would talk about the second step a little bit. And not the whole step, but really the whole step. And the step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. A power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So, first of all, I guess the step is implying that we're insane, right? And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over expecting different results? Yeah. I was definitely insane back in the day. Every day I would go through the same routine. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. Maybe I'll just have beer. Maybe I'll just have beer. All right, now I'm drinking. Now that I'm drinking, I hate beer, so let's just go right to vodka. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He goes, It's not that I can't stop. I just don't like to, right? And that kind of sums it up. Actually, sort of, I guess, because there was a point where I really just couldn't stop. Just kept on going. And so we were laughing about that. Luckily that I'm not sure what his status is. I know for me, I was able to finally put an end to it. But I remember hearing about a higher power. I remember, thinking before I got sober, while I was still actively drinking, about this program and how much of a God-based program it was. And I'm not a salesman for AA. I'm just a salesman for something that worked for me, The God part is interesting because the God part wasn't the part that kept me from drinking early on. Right, I would be sober. I would pick up. I would, I've shared my story several times about the bumpy road that I went through. None of that really had to do with any God. That was all self. It wasn't until I finally, this last, I guess it'll be 13 years in December, but that December when I decided that was it. That's when I started trying to figure out how I could. I couldn't obviously drink. I couldn't obviously use. I had to figure out how I was going to get through this. And I started to investigate a higher power. And I started to kind of investigate meditation. And I tried to start understanding what's the point, The God, searching for God prior in the past. I remember, and I think I've shared this, when I was at that New Life rehab for kids. When I was a kid, 15, I guess, and the it was a men's rehab, sort of. I mean, it was interesting because this is back in Albuquerque. I mean, this is like down at Rio Rancho. This is like the outskirts of an old city of Albuquerque back, Route 66. People used to travel across the country through there. I mean, this is like, you go 5 miles out of the city and you're going back 100 years. And this rehab was in this old church, all stucco, the smooth church with the cross on top. You've seen it in 100 different old New Mexican scenes or whatever. It's just that old church, and it was a rehab. And you lived there. They had a little farm and a big center for breakfast and lunch. But it was just an old town. I don't even know what the hell it was, quite honestly, but and we lived there, And I remember, and it was like these, it was a men's, I think it had been like a men's recovery place, and they had decided to start bringing in teens. And I think they thought that the men would be a good example to young teenagers. And they weren't. They probably thought they were, but they really weren't. And I mean, the fact that they thought that they were going to inspire teens, I mean, is bizarre anyway. But listen, I'm not mad at it. It was a beginning. It was the beginning to getting sober. You know, I didn't get sober. Actually, I wasn't even drinking back then. This was all because of pot. My parents sent me there because of my pot smoking. And but it would be the first step, you know. The path is different for everyone. But I remember it was very heavy Christian-based program. And I remember the men speaking in tongues and carrying around a Bible, you know. And I remember I wanted a Bible. I asked for a Bible for Christmas. I was ready. This is it. I'm jumping in with both feet. I'm going to get a Bible. And I remember I got a Bible. It had, you know, the leather cover. I think it had my name on it. And I was always fascinated that all of the words spoken by the Lord were in red. Right? The red print. So, but this is what I do. You know, I get involved. I do things like that. More because I want to fit in. Jesus, sorry. More because I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. I want to be liked. So I'm jumping in. You know, I'm becoming a Christian. But I didn't really, you know, I wasn't doing it rightly, right? My motivations were self-based. I wanted to appear. I wanted to be respected. I wanted to be considered one of them. And so my motivation has always been fucked up when it came to that kind of shit. And, and it never worked. And I remember trying to speak in tongues. I haven't quite figured that out. And I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with a higher power. I don't know if there's something about, you know, just letting the Holy Spirit pass through you and make a bunch of sounds, and that's the Holy Spirit, and being okay with it, and being okay with doing that in front of other people, because first of all, I'd be totally embarrassed. You know, if I started making these sounds and this rambling going on, I would be humiliated. But it's for the Lord. And, you know, self is out of this. You know, nobody cares because this is the Holy Spirit. And so I remember trying to speak in tongues, and it was just a mess. And so when I finally got picked up my last, you know, 24-hour coin, you know, 12 or so years ago, I remember I was interested in figuring out what this was about. And I remember the prayer someone taught me, and I say it. I tell this prayer. I was talking to somebody on the phone this morning. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. That's it. And it wasn't that I said it. It's not like anything appeared. The one thing that did happen when I said it is I found some relief. Relief, because, you know, I carry that stuff around. It builds up. And it's hard to, I don't have a release valve, you know, when I'm so consumed in self. And that's really what it ends up being, you know. It's almost like my little secret. I'm just going to go self today. I'm just going to be big time self. And I'm going to be inconvenienced, and I'm going to be bothered. I was talking to somebody this morning, and you know, and I've been sharing this story on and on about this person, and I talked to this person this morning because I like to check in. I'm like, hey, how are you? And this person was telling me that so-and-so was saying this about them, and I said, stop. It's none of your business. Right? Starting now, none of this is your business. And I also said, and by the way, all of this that you're going through is all your fault. You know, sometimes that's hard to hear. I know for me, something like that would be going on. I can't believe that person, right? I can't believe. And you start creating the story, and you start feeding the story to yourself. All right, no one's around. This is what really happened. It's all that person's fault, right? Clearly, because look at them. They're making a fool of themselves. I had nothing to do with it. And but you start believing that shit, and then you start getting, you know, maybe I don't need to get sober. It's a whole conversation that starts happening. Next thing you know, you're right on the edge of having another drink. That's why it's important to say this stuff out loud with a sponsor or to your higher power. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Uh-oh, someone exposed it. Someone put a little sunshine on it. And, you know, that was the beginning of my relationship with a higher power. The attempt. I love to say it's more about the attempt and not about the outcome. That's humility for me. The attempt, not the outcome. You know, if you can make an attempt, if you can open your mouth, if you can recognize what you need to recognize, that you're not the higher power, that you recognize there is a higher power and you're not it, and you start saying these things out loud, the next thing you know, man, you start to find a little bit of relief, and you start to go, and to hear yourself say it out loud sometimes is, to me, you know, just like when you run something by a friend and they say, I don't know if that's a good idea, and you're like, yeah, you're probably right. That, you know, it's interesting when I do these podcasts, because, you know, I just sit down and just see if I can work through something. I just pick a song, and I find that I hope that the song that I pick, that I just pick, I don't, it's not a plan, will give me some inspiration to talk about. But I love, you know, I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a song. And then so I'm flipping through, and I realize, and that song is Corduroy, and I love the beginning, where he says, you're finally here and I'm a mess. You know, that is like a higher power. You know, that is it. You know, I'm a mess. And finally, you get to that point, you start deciding, like, this is, I need to figure this out. I need to start relying on a higher power. I know growing up, I was so surrounded by people in religion and church that, you know, if I'm gonna put something I do hair. I'm a hairdresser. You know, I went to hair school. There was a teacher. The teacher showed me how to do this, taught me. Right, it was one way. But if I was surrounded by 50 people all trying to teach me the same thing, you know, you get confused. It's hard to learn. So that's why it was important for me to start to understand what's going on. You know, I've talked about it before, when you, you know, when you lay in bed at night and you shut your eyes and it's dark, and that veil, the thin veil of darkness that covers you, right? And then I start to pray, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And all of a sudden, the veil starts to lift. And I can see color. And it's like this wall of self-centered fear is just constantly draped on me. And I have to recognize it. And I have to start talking about it, you know? And it's the other thing that... And listen, if you're learning or trying to figure out how the relationship with the higher power works in your life, check it all out, because honestly, you know, I love the idea, you know, the foxhole prayers, when shit's tough, now we reach out, right? When things have gone bad, this is when we start to pray. But success, happiness, you know, they're just as bad for me sometimes. You know, I have to, if I'm happy, I'm more than likely self-involved and I'm getting what I want. And if I'm always getting what I want, I'm not sure that's always good for me. You know, I need the tougher path. You know, I shared in my podcast, I think the other day, you know, helping is hurting. You know, I need to hurt. I need to grind through it. I need to have the fear. I need to have the anxiety. I need to experience the success. You know, if someone does everything for me, I don't appreciate anything. And then trying to teach that to my kids. You know, this morning Sam had he's going to an event. You know, and we thought the event was going to be canceled, which the event is he's going to a, you know, Killens Pond. It's a water park thing. And I told him this morning, get your stuff together. You know, I made him a lunch. I'm like, get everything you need. You know, I'm not going to go around and gather everything and put it all together for him. And start handling some of this shit. This is my mom would have taken care of everything. I would probably still be in bed, just sitting there while my mom gathered all my stuff, put my lunch together, got my towel, got everything ready, and then I would just basically get out of bed and get in the car and go. No, not doing that. Get your stuff together. But he forgot his towel. And I'm like, and I go, did you bring some dry clothes? Oh, no, I didn't need to bring that. Which means, no, I didn't, I forgot. Because, of course, they wouldn't write on a list, do not bring a change of dry clothes. I mean, of course they would want you to do that. But he didn't. And I, you know, so I'm like, shit, I feel a little bit bad. But he's going to have to experience this. And, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I do see some things. You know, he does handle some things. But he's a 10-year-old. I can't be mad. But the point of this whole thing is just, you know, you start, you know, whether it's good times or bad, you know, if I'm finding myself, you know, like I'll have a day where we do some podcasting, people are recognizing, maybe someone says that they've been listening to the podcast and they like it, and all of a sudden someone wants to support the podcast, and then, you know, you have a day of a lot of backpatting, you know, all of a sudden I'm feeling a little special. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. In the times of good times and in bad. Good times and bad. Sometimes it's more important in the good times. The good times for me are always what have made me go back and do something. Because whatever happened the moment that I quit doing whatever I was doing was usually pretty fucking tragic. Stitches, breakups, wrecked cars, whatever it is. Of course you have to fucking get sober. But all of a sudden you reach the top of the mountain, 5 pats on the back, 2 compliments, you know, 1,000 listens on a podcast, and next thing you know, that day, that tragic moment, you don't remember it. We forget. That's the point where I have to say, dear Lord, my shoulders are clearly not big enough for this success. My shoulders are clearly not big enough for the success that I'm imagining in my mind. I'm turning it over to you. Keep me right, Lord. Keep me grounded. Please. Keep me grounded. Let's see if we can read something. A little reading. A little bit of reading. Daily reflections. Let's see here. July 9th. I am an instrument. Wow. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step 12, 12 steps and 12 traditions, page 70. The subject of humility is a difficult one. Humility is not thinking less of myself than I ought to. It is acknowledging that I do certain things well. It is accepting a compliment graciously. God can only do for me what he can do through me. Humility is the result of knowing that God is the doer, not me. In the light of this awareness, how can I take pride in my accomplishments? I am an instrument, and any work I seem to be doing is being done by God through me. I ask God only on a daily basis to remove my shortcomings, in order that I may more freely go about my business of love and service. Nailed it. Nailed it. That's it. Right? Acknowledging that I do certain things well is accepting a compliment graciously. God can only do for me what he can do through me. You know, that is it. I mean, I love this program. I love the fact that I get to do it and use it and be part of it and share it. And just so blessed that I have the program in my life, because that is, you know, it's the higher road. Good times and bad. I have to remember. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about this relationship that I had with a friend that kind of ended. And I talked about it in the podcast, I'm sure, a few days. But, you know, just being like, listen, I need to take care of me. And I need to understand why this friendship isn't going to work out. And, you know, it is what it is. And he says, well, I was listening to this podcast called I'm Sorry About Last Night. And in the podcast, the guy's talking about, you know, how you have to forgive and, you know, apologize and, you know, make amends and clean it up. And I was like, God damn. A good point. The problem was, is like, I don't really feel like I did anything wrong. So if I was going to try to figure out, maybe make a list of things that I did do wrong, because, you know, self tells me I did nothing wrong and it's everybody else's fault. You know, one of the things that I did is I played along in this, the shenanigans, you know, the back and talk, the back and forth negativeness. You know, I didn't want to do that, and I did it. That's part of my fault. I put up with it. You know, one thing I've learned about sobriety and just being normal, right? Because all this is really just trying to be normal. Not all this is trying to be above normal or special. I just want to be normal, right? And, you know, I put up with this, and lost my train of thought on that one. I just know that I feel like I have justified resentments, and I feel like that everything that went on makes me not want to do anything about it and just let it go away. But the reality of it is it bugs me and it bothers me, and I don't like the fact that I have this kind of open wound right now, and I feel like reaching out to this person and just, you know, sharing, and whether I need to clean it up, I need to apologize. My worst fear is that this person just doesn't really care. You know, like, it's one thing to get duped, but to be double duped, right? You know, it's one thing to be in a relationship and then the relationship is weird and so you end it because of that, but then you turn around and find out they didn't really even like you. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen, as weird as that is. So, I don't know. But I know one thing. I am I'm going to keep working on it. And I, you know, I appreciate the ability to sit here and share my story and talk about this on my podcast. I did do a live one this morning. I don't know. That live stuff kind of weirds me out. But I'm just grateful I'm sober, and I hope everybody has a great day, and we will talk later. Bye.